So we are in our Advent series, and we have another video to watch.
Don't you just love that sound? The sound of the last piece of a giant puzzle you've dedicated so much time and effort to solving, snapping into place.
Last piece. Who wants to do the honors?
Yay! Yeah! All right.
And it looks exactly like it was originally designed to be. When you work on a puzzle, something greater happens than simply putting all the pieces together. You bond as a family. You have a common goal that each of you are working toward. You begin talking about your lives, school, activities, friendship, and over a couple mugs of hot chocolate with extra marshmallows, an extra laugh, extra arguments, an extra celebration. In this moment, you can feel it. You feel love. Don't you?
Amen. I tell you what, there is nothing better than that last puzzle piece going in and you have completed it, right? Huh? How many of y'all like that feeling? It's all there, then poop, last piece comes in. Yes! Don't you feel like you've accomplished something? Well, if you would stand for the honor of reading God's Word, Hebrews chapter 12. We've read this before, but I want to emphasize this once again. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Let's pray. Lord, we are so thankful that you are the author and the perfecter. You are the beginning and the end. You are the one who starts it, and you are the one who finishes our faith. And we are so thankful that we can celebrate today your amazing love that you had so that we might know you. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to experience your love, walk in your love, God, and to know what it means to be set free from our sin so that we can run our race with endurance. Lord, if there's someone here that needs to know you, I pray that you'd speak to their heart, Lord. Help me to preach plain and clear, God. I do realize that there is a strict judgment on my life and rightly dividing your word of truth, and I do accept that place, for it's in Jesus' name that I pray, in his name that I preach. Amen. All right, some of you just finished up finals not too long ago. How many college students do we have in the house? Yeah, and you've completed, yeah, you have finals week. How many of y'all love finals week? Do you love it? No? I'm weird, so I loved finals week. Like, I kind of saw it as a competition. Right, I played sports in high school, and I didn't get to play in college, so I looked at my classes as a competition, because I was like, okay, it's the last exam, all right, this is the fourth quarter, it's coming down to the last play, and I'm gonna ace this thing, and I would study. Sometimes I'd study all night. And I loved studying. I loved the thrill of the last test, you know, trying to ace it. And then after you submitted it, after you either you wrote your essay or you bubbled in your answers or whatever it is, and you turned it in and you put it on the teacher's desk, oh, what joy that felt. Woo, I'm finished. I have finished. Never to take that class ever what? Again, it's over. It's finished. I mean, man, that's just, to me, that's one of the greatest feelings. Because see, when you finish something, you have a sense of accomplishment. Do you not? But there's a sense of accomplishment. You've spent all this time, you've spent all this energy, and to really finish something well, it has to be worth all the effort, right? So let's look at this again in Hebrews 12. Let's go to verse 2. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter, again, that's the starting, he starts it. He finishes it. He's the founder. He's the author. He's the one who writes it. He's from beginning to end, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of God. Now, let's look at that, because the cross was already planned before Jesus ever came. You see, God knows all things, right? He's all-knowing. Did he know Adam and Eve was going to sin? Yeah. I mean, did God in the garden give them that choice, and then when they sin, go, oh, what am I going to do now? Huh? Did it cause confusion in the cosmos? No. You see, God's plan was always Jesus. The cross was always set. Before Jesus even came to us in this Advent season that we celebrate as Christmas, as the little baby in the manger, Emmanuel, God with us, he was born with a purpose and born with a mission. And his purpose was to redeem mankind. You see, this joy, who for the joy that was set before him, that's not just being happy. Now, this wasn't just the happiness that was set before him. No, for the joy that was in. It was a sense of a real accomplishment. It was a joyful love. It was knowing that there was a mission of redemption. Like, if I'm going to put forth the effort and do something, it's got to be worth it, right? Why do you go to work? Because I love my job. Really? If you didn't get that thing every 2 weeks or however it comes to you in your bank account or in a piece of paper in the mail, it's called what? A paycheck. If you didn't get that paycheck, how many of y'all would just be going to work on Monday? Huh? No. In order for you to endure something, it's got to be worth it, right? I mean, why do athletes go through all of the training and the pain that they do? Because they want to win something. We got climbers here among us, right? I don't understand it, okay? But, like, there has to be a reason to climb up the mountain. Now, to me, it'd have to be a bear is chasing me. Then I might climb up. But for a climber, if I'm right, tell me, it's the thrill and the joy of accomplishing that mission of I conquered that mountain, and to get to the top is a sense of achievement. Is that right? Good. I might need to start climbing. It's a sense of accomplishment. The reward's got to be greater. It's got to be worth it. It's got to be worth the risk. Risk reward, right? If it's really not worth it, are you going to do it? No. If you are going to exert a lot of energy, time, and effort, and sacrifice, and hardship, but the reward isn't a good payoff, you're not going to do it, will you? Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. Was the cross a pleasant thing? No. It was a painful thing. Jesus knew that he was going to be born, be rejected, be mocked, be ridiculed, beaten. Some of his own people in his group would turn on him, deny him. He would be crucified on a cross. That's not a good thing. That's not joyful. If we talk about it being happy, who for the joy that was set before him, you're like, so what was the joy? The joy wasn't in the process. The joy was the reward that was following. You know, it's kind of yes and no, you know, like these memes you put out there, you know, it's about the journey. I don't know, you know. Maybe, yeah, but I mean, it's got to be about the end. if the journey ends up being a dud, it's not a good, I don't care. But if there's heaven waiting, then the journey is worth it. There's a reward. What was the reward that was so joyful to Jesus? Because it says the reason why he endured the cross was the joy that was set before him. So if there was joy that was set before him, that had to have been the motivation that made Jesus go to the cross. Are you with me? What was that joy? That joy knowing that what he was doing, two reasons. Number one, it was because he loved the Father and it pleased the Father and it was his will to carry out the redemption of mankind. What have we been talking about? God's got a design for our life, right? God's original design that he made us and created us in his image so that we would know him, love him, serve him, follow him, and have communion with him. But what happened? Man has a tendency to do their own thing, right? God says, don't do that. We say, oh, I might try it. Huh? Anybody ever do something that you knew you shouldn't do? Right? You even say it out loud sometimes. I know I shouldn't do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. And you do it anyway. And so we did it anyway. We did our own thing. Again, remember, the Bible says there is a way that seems right unto man, but in the end it leads to death. So we all go our own way. We say, no, thank you, God. I think I'll do it on my own. The Bible calls this sin, which broke our life into all kinds of pieces. Brokenness. And then man tries to put the puzzle back together, right? We try to do it through relationships. We try to do it through wealth. We try to do it through fame. We try to do it through whatever we might use to try to find healing to our body, to our soul, to our mind. And we experiment in multiple different things, and we're trying to put the puzzle back together, and it's all messed up, and we can't get it right. And so Jesus said, I will come and I'll put the pieces back together. I will come and put your life back to the way it was originally designed. His death on the cross was the means to which that was going to happen. And so therefore, because that his death on the cross was going to bring wholeness, completeness, healing, salvation, redemption to every man and woman who will believe in him, he thought that reward was great enough to risk and give all that he had. Does that make sense? Well, let's look at some scripture this morning. Verse 24, Luke 24, 26. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? Was it not necessary for Christ to suffer to enter his glory? So it was necessary for Christ to suffer before he could enter where? Into the glory, and that glory being positioned at the right hand of the Father, we'll see. See, the reward was worth all of that sacrifice, right? You have to have a big reward. You know, you see, I grew up at a time when they had cartoons like Popeye. How many of y'all remember Popeye? Well, now what did Popeye eat? Spinach. Why did he eat spinach? Because it made him strong. And immediately when he ate his can of spinach, guess what happened? He got muscles. So as a kid, mom and dad say, eat your spinach. It'll make you like what? Papa. They might get you one time on that. Right? Because you eat your spinach and guess what doesn't happen? Your muscles just don't go boom, boom, like it did on Popeye. No. Now, what if that was really the case? What if when you ate your spinach, all of a sudden you just went boom? Man, there wouldn't be, you couldn't find spinach, could you? I mean, every guy would be eating their spinach because it'd be worth it. Was it not necessary? This is Jesus speaking to the people on the road to Emmaus. Was it not necessary that the Christ must suffer so that he can enter where? To his glory. Philippians 2:8. And being found in human form, he humbled himself. This is Jesus. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of what? Death. Even death on a cross. He humbled himself and became obedient to death on the cross. Why? For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Right? Isn't that what the author of Hebrews says? For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Here in Philippians, Paul says he humbled himself to the point of death. Okay? Let's look. Let's keep going. Hebrews 2:9. But we see him who for a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor. Why? Because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. When Adam sinned, we all sinned. We're born sinners by nature, by choice. You don't have to teach a kid how to be mean. But boy, you sure do have to spend a lot of time on them trying to be nice, right? How many of y'all have kids? Those of you who have kids, right? And you had more than one kid. And if you have siblings, you never had to go, "Hey, Johnny, come here. I want you to go over there and hit your sister." You know, you never had to do that. It's just one day you're sitting there and all of a sudden you hear, "Ow!" You're like, "What happened? Bubby hit me." True or false? Right? Now, why is that? That's that sin nature in us. Oh, we got it in us. Early it shows. It shows early. And so because Adam sinned, we all sin. And because Adam died, we all die. And the wages of sin is death. And because we're sinners, the wages of sin, the payment for sin, because we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God, because of that, we all die. And if we die apart from Christ, we're all sentenced to hell for all eternity, separated from God's perfect love. And so God's plan was, mankind doesn't have to stay in that position because I'm going to send my son to die in their place, to pay their fine. Right? Now, if you've been driving long enough, you've probably at some point maybe gotten a speeding ticket. Anybody got a speeding ticket? Bunch of sinners. I tell you what. You know, I got a speeding ticket after Sunday church one day. And after a baptism, well, is it Mount Pisgah? 68, going back to Louisville. I don't know if y'all knew this or not. But I'm all jacked up because we just baptized somebody. Woo! I'm going 65. Not too fast, but, you know, that wasn't a speed limit. Get pulled over. You do the crime, you pay the fine. So I had to pay the fine. Now, when grace kicks in, somebody says, "No, it's forgiven." Right? That's grace. That's part of what salvation is. But it goes even deeper than that. It's more than just his grace. It's his mercy. It's his love. It's a combination of a lot of things. Let's jump down to verse Ephesians 2:4. But God, being rich in, because of the great which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses. You could translate that like, even when we were caught red-handed. Y'all know what that means. We were caught. You were guilty. Even when you had been pulled up. Even when you were guilty. Dead in our trespasses. made us alive together with Christ. Who made us alive together with Christ? Did we do that or did he do that? He did that. He made us alive together in Christ. By grace have you been saved through faith. We see here mercy. We see his tremendous love. We see his grace. Now look at 1 John 4:9. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. Now let's just stop right there. This is John writing in 1 John. We had Paul writing in Ephesians. Paul says God made us alive together, right? He made us alive together. How? With Christ. Here, John's saying the same thing, that God loved the world so much that he sent his only Son into the world that we might live through him. So our eternal existence and the ability for us to be forgiven and made whole and made right with God is dependent upon who? Jesus. That God the Father so loved that he sent his Son so that we might be made alive together with Christ. Verse 10, in this is love, okay? This is the advent of love, by the way. In this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation of our sins. That's a big word, isn't it? That's a good theological word. Let's break this down. Not that we loved God, but that who? He loved us. You know, here's the situation. We're all living in rebellion. We're living in sin, and there's none who seek God. We're not trying to follow God. We're not trying to find God, but then God seeks us. We don't love God, but God loves us. And he loves us to the point to where he is going to die for our sin. He's going to send his Son to die for our sin. And this is love. Before we even loved him, he loved us. Isn't that amazing? Think about that. It's not because we loved him that he did this. It wasn't our love for God that caused God to send his Son to die for our sin. It was his love that sent Jesus to die for our sin. You get that? So that he might be a propitiation. Okay, put your seminary hats on. You ready? Travis, this is one of those good words that make you sound smart. This is make you sound smart word. What does that word mean? Here's what that means. It means that the wrath of God was satisfied in Christ Jesus. You say, well, the wrath of God. I thought God loved us. Well, he did, but the wrath of God was also on us because we were sinners. So the sentence, that ticket that we all committed, right? We all sped. We all broke the law. We all did what we shouldn't. So the ticket says, separate from God for all eternity. God judges sin. Now, I know we don't like to talk about that in our culture, because we want to just do our own thing and feel like there's no consequences. But the Bible says there's consequences to our sin, and the consequence for our sin is hell, separation from God. And the wrath of God is on us, okay? The penalty, the crime, it's there. We're guilty. And so what Jesus did is he came and he took our penalty. He took our ticket. He took the fine. He said, I'll pay it. If the wage is death, I'll die. If it's separation from you, then on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? I'll experience that if it's to go to hell. I will go. I will experience all that their sin has brought. All of the wrath of God on the cross was poured out upon Jesus, is what the Bible says. And he took his fury, he took our guilt, he took our shame. And on the cross, God judged our sin and laid it upon Jesus so that we might be forgiven. And when we stand before the judge, there's no ticket in our hand because our advocate, Jesus, steps in and says, I paid their fine. I paid their fine. That's what the cross was a holy transaction of where Jesus paid our fine to a holy God, where we can be forgiven, set free, and declared not guilty. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. And so, beloved, if God so loved us that way, we ought to love one another. Christians, why are we supposed to love one another? Why are we supposed to forgive one another? Why are we supposed to be gracious to one another? Why are we supposed to show mercy to one another? Why are we supposed to be kind to one another? Because he showed it to us. And he gave it to us. You say, well, they don't deserve it. Well, guess what? We didn't either. We didn't deserve the love of God. We didn't deserve his grace. We didn't deserve his mercy. We didn't deserve that he would go to the cross. But the Bible, the author of Hebrews says that for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He finished. He put that last piece of the puzzle in. And he said, I'll make it right. I'll make them whole. And he thought that that was worth it. He thought that going to the cross was worth dying for so that you might be put back together. That the last piece might be put in. When Jesus was born, the angels announced in Matthew 1:21, she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. From the very beginning, when Jesus was born, the mission was to save his people from their sins. The last piece of that puzzle was complete. Jesus was coming into the world to save sinners. How good it felt when God, at the right time, put that piece of the birth of our Lord in, setting in motion the race that was set before him, that he joyfully endured because of those he would redeem. He thought it was worth it. This morning, you got a piece of a puzzle. Correct? There's a piece of a puzzle. And I wonder what it is in your life that seems not complete, right? So let's apply this in many ways. If you are a believer in Jesus and you know Christ, sometimes does your puzzle get a little messed up? And it seems like you've got a missing piece. Huh? Can that still happen? Can you have bitterness set up in your heart? Yeah, you can. Maybe somebody in your life has hurt you or wounded you and caused some resentment to build up in your heart. You know, Jesus, He's that piece that will complete it. If you'll just hand it over to Jesus and let him arrange the pieces, he'll put that piece where it needs to be. Fear. There may be some people who you just live in fear. Fear of what's going on. I don't know, maybe in your job, maybe in your future, it's kind of uncertain and you're fearful of like, what's next? I don't know. And I don't know what decision I've got to make. And you can either sit there and try to put the piece everywhere you think it can, or you can just kind of lay it to Jesus and say, here, I need you. You're my piece to what I'm searching for. And you put it where it needs to be. You put that last piece in for me. I don't know what it might be. It may be that, man, you're just dry. You're a Christian, but man, the joy has just been sucked out of you. You haven't experienced a closeness with God like you have. It seems like when you pray that nothing ever happens and you just feel so distant from God. I mean, you know you're saved and you know you've been forgiven, but you just don't seem close. There's something in your life that's got the puzzle distorted and you just need to lay it down. Maybe some of you need to be baptized, right? Maybe some of you, you've been a Christian and you've confessed your faith, but you've never followed him in believer's baptism. And that needs to be the piece that just comes in there, right? Maybe this morning, I don't know, you've never trusted in Jesus as Lord and Savior, and you've just never surrendered your life to him, and you keep trying to fix your own puzzle, and what you need is the love of Jesus to make you whole. It's his love, it's his grace, it's his mercy, it's his redemption, it's what he did. And so what you need to do is you just need to say, Lord, I'm tired of trying to put that last piece in with pieces that don't belong. And I'm just gonna lay mine down, and I'm gonna let you put the piece in to my life. I don't know what God is speaking to your heart and what he's saying, what you're going through, what you're battling. But this morning, guess what we're going to do? We're going to let him complete the puzzle. So as we have our invitation, as we sing, here's the challenge. You're going to take your piece if you want to. If you want to come to the altar, I think the altar is a good place to come to. And you want to lay it down, and you need to spend some time praying to God. Just put your piece right there. Say, Lord, you are my piece in the center of my life that completes and makes my life whole. And forgive me if I've been trying to put anything else there but you. It is your love, it's your grace, it's your mercy that I need. And you know what? That's for everything. Salvation, renewal, to be able to forgive, to be able to love people the way I'm supposed to love them, to be able to live my life in faithfulness. It takes him. And so Jesus' death, his resurrection, is what we need each and every day for all situations, because he is the center piece that makes all things whole. Amen? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, this morning, I don't know what you're stirring in people's hearts. I don't know what you're communicating right now. There may be someone, man, they're just distant. And they love you. But you just seem so far away. God, would you come near to them right now? Would you come near and bring healing? There may be some folks here that they're just hurting. They're hurting. Life has wounded them. Life has hurt them. And they need you to be that peace that just brings healing and wholeness. Lord, there's someone here this morning, they've never trusted you as Savior. And they need to say, Lord, forgive me, I'm a sinner. And Lord, I believe you died on the cross. I believe you rose again. And Come into my life and save me. So whatever, Lord, you're doing and speaking into people's hearts and life right now, Lord, would we be obedient? Lord, we thank you that you loved us, that you would send your son to die for us. And Jesus, we thank you that you are the founder and the perfecter, and that you thought it was worth all that you did so that we might have redemption. And Holy Spirit, we thank you that you call us out of our sin, out of darkness, and into light. And may we worship you today. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.